Grace and peace to you from the one who is truly the light of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For our sermon text today, we'll hear the reading of the Holy Gospel, and I would invite you again to rise for that. I'll preach mainly about the section that you find in brackets there in the middle, but this is a little bit longer account that gives us the full context of Jesus healing the blind man. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." So far, the sermon text. Let us pray. And now may the words of my heart and of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I'm wondering if you ever played this game with your children or with your grandchildren. I spy with my little eye something red. Did you ever do that? You can probably figure out what I'm talking about because I was looking right at it when I said it. That's kind of part of the fun with little children anyway. I was looking up there at the candle holder when I said, "I spy with my little eye." Doesn't take a genius to figure that out. Our text today says that they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Well, these are the neighbors and the people of the town where this man had been a blind beggar since birth. And all this happened because Jesus restored this man's sight. Can you imagine what it was like for that man? 2,000 years ago, he was blind. He couldn't work a job. There weren't any Social Security disability type things available back then. No social safety nets. A blind person was often forced to beg in the streets, and thankfully his fellow Jews were pretty good about supporting such people, but still, how demeaning for him and how difficult for him and how uncertain his existence would be day to day. And now here this man can see. Suddenly he could spy with his little eye, even though he didn't know exactly what a color was, probably, for a while anyway. The neighbors and those who knew him as the blind beggar, well, they could see that something far outside the normal laws of this universe had taken place. Jesus had spit on the ground and made mud with saliva, and he anointed this man's eyes with that mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And he washed and came back seeing. This little weird action had somehow restored this beggar's ability to see. And the Pharisees, it says, again asked him how he had received his sight, and he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." So this beggar gave them his personal testimony that though he was once blind, now he sees. Those who knew him gave their eyewitness testimony, that Jesus had given this man the ability to see, even though he had been blind. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." So who's really blind here? Others said, "How can this man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" Do you see the irony of this? Here are these religious men who have been able to see with their eyes all their life. They've heard the word of God. They studied, I'm sure, the prophet Isaiah, knew many of his words by heart. Do you see the irony here? They should have been able to see, but they could not see the truth that this man who was before them was the very one whom Isaiah had prophesied about. The Pharisees were the blind men. They couldn't see what was right in front of them. They undoubtedly knew these prophecies. In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. I'm pretty sure they knew these words. And they knew that the one that Isaiah was testifying about in that prophecy was none other than God in the flesh, the Savior of the world, the Anointed One, the Messiah. That's what Christ means. They were not casually throwing around their opinions about Jesus either. They label him a sinner, a Sabbath breaker. And then they fight about which of their opinions must be right. They were very serious about this. They were trying to figure out this obvious, well-attested miracle. But the man who had been blind, he could see. He said, "He's a prophet." Well, a prophet is one who speaks the word of God. And this Jesus opened this man's eyes, not just to the physical world so that he could see with his physical eyes, but he opened this man's eyes to see spiritual things too, by faith. But the Pharisees couldn't see by faith. Instead, they were arguing about just what sort of sinner Jesus had to be since he did something on the Sabbath. They couldn't really admit to themselves that Jesus had cured this man's blindness. Even though they say it, they don't want to acknowledge it. They knew the word of God that had been spoken to Moses, but they would not believe that this Jesus was the very one whom God himself had promised to send to save them from their sins. And why? Well, it's because they were the very thing that they were accusing Jesus of being. They were sinners. They were the ones working so hard at wickedness and arguing falsehoods about the Savior. The blind man saw for the first time, and these supposedly learned Bible-believing men were after the man who had given him his sight. Imagine opening your eyes for the first time and seeing such a messed up world. I'm sure he already knew the world was a sinful place. He had lived in it for years. But to see it with your own eyes for the first time, how sad that must have been for him. It's probably a good thing that an infant has no mind to process the sadness of this place and the evil that is in our world when it first draws breath and opens its eyes. So how's our vision? What do we see when we look at the world around us? Some see a world of possibilities, potential, good things right around the corner, and the world praises such positive attitudes, rewards that attitude with respect. And there is a right positive attitude, but so often a worldly positive attitude is blind to the truth about this world, blind to sin, blind to death, blind to the manipulating lies of the devil. There is a real and true positive attitude, and it's not the attitude that any worldling has. These Pharisees didn't have it. By nature, we don't have it. But Christ has opened our eyes. And I'm not talking about just these eyes. He's opened our eyes of faith to see the truth that this world is a mess, that it's dying, that it's at odds with God, that it cannot see Jesus for who he really is, that we ourselves are sinners, that our lives are a mess because we're contributing members to this world of corruption. And yet, by faith, we also see that God himself loves us, messed up as we are. He loves the inhabitants of this whole world to the point where he himself, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, came down from heaven into the muck of this world to live and die for us, to make us God's own children. Christ himself has opened our eyes to the reality of his life of perfect love, his innocent death under the condemnation that should have been there for us. We Christians see there on that cross what we have not seen with our eyes. None of us lived that long ago. But we see vividly, nonetheless, the truth before us, our rescue from this dying world, our life, the wellspring of every good thing in our lives, God in the flesh for our salvation. That's our vision. And it's not because we see with these poor eyes of ours. They're too short-sighted. No, we see the unseen things of God by faith. We hear what God says and we believe because that word is powerful. We taste and see that the Lord is good. And we say with this man whose eyes were healed by Jesus, we say, Lord, I believe. We say that every day right alongside him. I spy with my little eyes a game. But what we have spied with our eyes of faith is no game at all. We don't want just to give hints of what we have seen to other people. It's too important. The time is short. What we have seen and know by faith is the truth. It saves lives for eternal life from eternal damnation. You've seen the Lord. You know what He's done. You know that there are people in your lives whom God loves who don't know Jesus. Think of what it would mean if they could open their eyes of faith because God gave them eyes of faith. Think of what it would mean for them to open their eyes and see. Put yourself in the place of that formerly blind man in our text and you'll see a glimpse of it. Imagine the joy that they will know when they know Jesus and His cross and that empty tomb. It's no coincidence that God sent those angels to roll that stone away so that people could look inside with their physical eyes and see by faith that Jesus was not there because He had risen from the dead just as the Lord said He would. Think of how important that is. Think of the joy that they will know when they look anew at these ancient words of the Bible and know that these are the very words of God Himself which are meant for them, for us, for the whole world. Think of it. Think of the joy that they will know when they hear that their sins are forgiven. God says that. Your sins are forgiven. Think of what a joyful thing that would be for them to know that though they have messed up in their lives so bad, though they've insulted and been arrogant toward God, God still, nonetheless, for the sake of Jesus, says, I forgive you. I love you. And He begins working in their hearts through that faith that He gives so that their joy only grows. It's not the happy, happy, joy of the world. It's the joy of faith, knowing that we are destined for that higher place because God is working in our hearts and giving us a new life. He's given us so many things that we can do in this world that will be truly helpful to others. Everything else is passing away, but these people around us, they're eternal beings. And we have the opportunity to give them what we ourselves have received from God, the gospel. We have the opportunity to give them that which will save them for eternal life. Think of the joy that they will know, even as they close their eyes in that final sleep before they open them in heaven. That's the joy that we have. That's the joy that we share. Fellow redeemed, I spy this even with my little eye, and I know that you do too, because this is the gift of God. This is faith. And now as Jesus said to that blind man, go wash your head in the pool of Siloam. That means sent. That's not by accident. That's what you and I are. We are sent by God with a message of good news that is powerful to save, that opens the eyes of faith and gives eternal life. May we be so motivated to bring that word out into this darkened world so that the light of the gospel can shine in people's hearts and bring them the true joy of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.